Radio is staying late for the NFL every Sunday. A specialist team of tipsters are on air from 6 until 1 a.m. bringing you the best bets every week. We'll also have experts from both sides of the pond in the build-up to the big games. In Play Radio from William Hill. Your eyes on a world of sport.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us. A wild card weekend in the National Football League. The playoffs begin on Saturday evening. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio with Beating the Book podcast host Gil Alexander on the line from San Francisco. First of all, before we get stuck into these four games this weekend, it's a Happy New Year. A Happy New Year to you, Gil.
You too, Dave. I'm glad you made it to the other side.
Yeah, let's hope we have a few more before we check out, Gil. Wildcard weekend is here, and for cracking, one of my favourite weekends of the NFL season, Gil, in all honesty, because it's just fun. It's elimination football, and we get to see eight teams dueling this weekend, and I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, it's been the regular season has been a blur this year. Most of us sort of feel that way. And it's time to find out who the best of the best is, and we will certainly take a big step forward in that this weekend.
Let's get stuck in then, and the first game comes up Saturday, 9:35 p.m. UK time. The Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. The Cardinals 11-5, the Panthers 5-13. This line is set at 6 currently. The Panthers minus 6 at 10-11. The Cardinals plus 6 at 10-11. And it's incredible, Gil, to think that a team that finished the regular season 11-5 is a significant underdog against a team that finished 7-8-1. But of course, mitigating circumstances here. And the Cardinals, their travails at quarterback, they've been well documented, Gil.
Well documented, and we're going to have to assume that Ryan Lindley is quarterbacking the Cardinals on Saturday for this game, and that doesn't bode well for the Cardinals. You know, last week before the Week 17 game, head coach Bruce Arians said he was going to start Logan Thomas, their rookie quarterback, who was a fourth-round draft pick, to see what they have in Logan Thomas. And it took all of one practice for Bruce Arians to reverse course and say, you know what, we're going to actually stick with Ryan Lindley for Game 17. Which means that Logan Thomas, based on what we've seen of Ryan Lindley, that is, Dave, Logan Thomas must be terrible. So they're going to go with Ryan Lindley, it appears. Doesn't look like Drew Stanton's going to come back. And this is their fate. Now, for the last 2 weeks, I've come on this show and we've hit our biggest bet each week, and it had to do with these two teams. First, with the Panthers last week, we had the Panthers against the Falcons. That proved to be an easy winner for us. Previous week, we had the Seahawks against Ryan Lindley, and I said, I don't know how the Cardinals are going to score. They managed 6 points in that game. The Seahawks blew them out 31-6. So now we have these two teams that we were huge on the last 2 weeks and successfully the last 2 weeks, and now we have to make an assessment. The Panthers, all of a sudden, from a underdog week after week to this 6.5-point favorite, I'm going to say that's a little too much, even with Ryan Lindley.
I kind of agree with you here, Gil, because you look at this, and Bruce Arians, surely he's going to focus on the defense, isn't he? He's going to be telling his players they've got to step up now on defense because they know that Ryan Lindley is not going to go out there and win the matchup for the Cardinals. But this defense is a top quality unit, and they can take on the Panthers. Not single-handedly, they're going to need a little bit of help, but it's all about the Cardinals' defense, isn't it, here?
It is. You've probably hit on the head exactly what Bruce Arians is focusing on this week. He knows that Ryan Lindley's going to have to be a game manager. They're not going to do much offensively. They're going to have to get what they can get offensively against the Carolina Panthers defense that has been playing well. But here's the deal with the Panthers. And we talked about this a little last week when taking them against the Falcons. And now we can update those stats. First of all, again, the Panthers, fifth division champ with a non-winning record after a 16-game season in the history of the league. The second division winner, only the second with a losing record. They joined the 2010 Seahawks. Notably, the Seahawks actually won their first playoff game that year at 7-9, so it's not a death sentence here. But The Panthers went from October 5th to December 7th between wins. More than 2 months without a victory. And then, of course, they reeled off four in a row where they averaged just a tick below 200 rushing yards per game in these last four wins, which is an amazing amount of rushing yards. That has helped Cam Newton be extremely effective off play action. And in fact, their defense, as I just mentioned, has allowed just 10.75 points per game the last four games. That's a full 17 points better on average from their first 12 games of the season. But here's the deal. Those four wins, and let's take all of Carolina's wins this year. And I mentioned this on my show this week as well, but it's noteworthy. Carolina's wins this year are against Tampa Bay, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, Tampa Bay again, Cleveland, and Atlanta. The combined record of those teams that they've beaten is 40-72. And in fact, if you take out the Week 2 game against the Lions, it's 29-67, or a 302 winning percentage, 30% winning percentage for the teams that Carolina has beaten. So, you know, and by the way, you know, in most of those cases, Chicago, New Orleans, and Atlanta, they got the three worst opposing yards per play teams in the NFL in terms of their defenses. Tampa Bay's bottom 10. Against Cleveland, Carolina only needed 17 points. So there's a whole bunch of things. Besides that Week 2 win against Detroit, there's nothing on their resume. And as you pointed out, Arizona, with their deficiencies at quarterback, will they win this? I think they might. But if you're giving me 6 or 6.5 points as I look across the board, I'm absolutely taking that.
Yeah, Arizona plus 6 points. Strong, confident bet, Gil. Do you think that, just one final word on this game right now, we're recording this on New Year's Day, 6:30 p.m. UK time. Do you think that line is set as if Lindley is the starter? And would that line move if Drew Stanton was to come into the lineup prior to Saturday's match?
Will it and should it are two interesting questions. Will it? Yes. Should it? Yes. But it should move if Stanton were to come into the lineup. I believe that it should move a lot more than it will. So if we found out tomorrow, hey, Drew Stanton is miraculously okay, he's going to play in this game, that line would definitely move towards Arizona. But I don't think it would move nearly enough.
How many points do you think he's worth then in terms of the handicap here, Gil?
I think Stanton is much closer to Palmer than in terms of talent than I do Stanton is Lindley. So I believe Drew Stanton versus Ryan Lindley, and this is more of a commentary on Lindley than anything, is worth about a field goal. I really do.
Okay.
I don't think it will move. First of all, I don't think it will happen. Right. I don't think Ryan Lindley is going to not be quarterback. I think Ryan Lindley will be the starter on Saturday. But in either case, if you're giving me Arizona as a dog, you know, I'm taking Arizona. So I do think Lindley is about a 3-point markdown from either other quarterback for the Cardinals. Logan Thomas aside, we're not talking about Logan Thomas here, of course.
Arizona plus 6, definitely the player there in the opening match of Wild Card Weekend. Let's move on. Let's have a look at this intense rivalry between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to Heinz Field on Sunday morning, UK time, 1:15 a.m. start time, this one. The Ravens 7-5, the Steelers 5-8. And on the spread right now, the Baltimore Ravens plus 3 points, 10-11. The Steelers minus the 3 points at 10-11. The Ravens, they finished the season 10-6, while the Steelers closed 11-5 and have that home field advantage for what is arguably, Gil, the most intriguing wildcard playoff match this weekend, because this is an intense rivalry, and it's the one that the Steelers have dominated in the postseason, particularly at Heinz Field.
Yeah, it's also the spread that has, you know, stayed the quietest all week. It's been 3, it has remained 3, as opposed to the game we just talked about, which actually opened at 4.5, and then folks came pouring in on the Panthers, and it's up to 6 or 6.5. This one's been 3 all week long. You might see 3 with a little extra juice in some places, but it's 3. And, yeah, it's been an amazing rivalry. You know, this year they traded 20-point wins. Each team won by 20 points at home. Prior to that, the 5 games before that were all decided by 3 points or less. So let's sort of not get taken off the scent by what's happened this year, though it is noteworthy that Joe Flacco didn't perform well in that last game at Pittsburgh. He had a 40.6 total QBR. Big Ben, 6 touchdowns, famously, against no picks that day. And Big Ben's been great at home. 23 touchdown passes of his 32 have been at Heinz Field. So you're right, there might be something to Pittsburgh being a little better at Heinz Field. There is a bit of a home field advantage there. I think home field advantage sometimes gets overblown in this league, but there might be something there at Heinz Field. Give them a point or two for sure. I like Baltimore here in one of these games where it's so evenly matched that I'll take the team getting the 3. And, of course, the big question that looms over this entire game is, will Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers play or not? I'll take the 3 if Le'Veon Bell plays. If he is not playing, getting three to me is a huge amount of value. You ask me, what's the difference between Drew Stanton and Ryan Lindley? It's more of a commentary on Lindley. Well, we oftentimes diminish injuries when we talk about games. We're like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be out, this guy will be in, this guy will be out. Well, Le'Veon Bell, the case can be made is that he is the single best running back in the NFL this year. And so much of what Pittsburgh does offensively, we talked about those 6 touchdown passes and 0 picks against the Ravens that Big Ben had last time out. Well, so much of that is possible because of the threat of Le'Veon Bell. And now, especially because they don't have a changeup back, LeGarrette Blount has long been jettisoned. Well, if they don't have Bell, I really don't know what that does to the Steelers' offense, but it ain't good, I'll tell you that.
Le'Veon Bell's participation unknown at the moment. The thing I find most interesting about this matchup in this particular year is, Gil, that these two franchises, their identity has been built on strong defenses in the past. That's kind of flipped, particularly with the Steelers this season. They've got that three-headed beast at on offense with Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, who you've mentioned, and Antonio Brown, one of the star receivers this season. But their game built on offense now, whereas traditionally it has been built on defense.
You're so right about both teams. This was the hardest hitting matchup in pro football over the last several seasons. When Ravens and Steelers played, you knew this was going to be a dogfight. In fact, so much so that whoever played these teams the following week had an advantage because they were beat up. That was a pretty big handicapping tenet. If you played the Ravens or Steelers in a previous week and you had a game after, or excuse me, if you got to play the Ravens or Steelers after they played each other, you actually were facing a banged up team more often than not because they had been through it against each other. But this year, you're right. Pittsburgh, really a bad defense. 6.0 yards per play allowed. Only Chicago, New Orleans, and Atlanta were worse. 7.5 yards per pass attempt allowed. Only Washington, Chicago, and Atlanta were worse. But the Ravens secondary is just a really marginal outfit as well. In fact, I had Aaron Schatz, who is a gentleman who runs a advanced football stats site called Football Outsiders, on the show this week, and he said the one lock that you can count on in this game is that the Ravens secondary at some point will get beat deep. Mm. No question about it. And certainly Antonio Brown is one to do that. So, yeah, it's a different Ravens-Steelers feel. There's going to be some points put up.
That spread on the points, incidentally, 46.5 right now. The under is 10-11. The over is 10-11. So leaning Baltimore there, not as strongly as Arizona, though, Gil.
Leaning Baltimore, yeah, I mean, listen, if there's no Le'Veon Bell, it's just as strong, if not stronger, quite frankly.
And
if it is Le'Veon Bell, Arizona stronger.
And a quick mention that tackle Haloti Ngata is back this week as well, which boosts that that Baltimore defense.
It's a big, big gain for Baltimore's defense. He had been suspended for 4 games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. He's back in the lineup. That is huge. Absolutely a difference maker for the Ravens.
Let's move on to the matches on Sunday. Cincinnati Bengals, first of all, at the Indianapolis Colts. The Bengals 6-4. The Indianapolis Colts 10-17. The Bengals +3 at even money. The Colts -3 with extra juice here at 5-6. And the Cincinnati Bengals, Gil, really out for revenge here because that defeat at Lucas Oil Stadium earlier in the season, back in October, that was embarrassing. Kevin Huber was forced to punt a record, a team-tying record, 11 times in that matchup. And that's that was a moment when this Bengals franchise were going through their lowest ebb in the season.
Lowest ebb, we were, if you recall, over the course of this season, we had the Bengals being the greatest football team that's ever existed on planet Earth after 3 weeks. A little exaggeration, but just to make the point. Then they went to this team like, oh, it's the Bengals. And then, you know, they had a game against the Browns at home on a Thursday night where they just got destroyed. And then all of a sudden, they started winning games. You're like, oh, they're actually pretty okay. The point of all that is to say, of all the four games this weekend, this is the one where I have the least conviction on, because both of these teams are so volatile from week to week, and specifically the Bengals really are really the poster child of volatility. You just don't know what you're getting with them. You don't know what you're getting with Andy Dalton, first of all, from week to week. And now, you know, we talked about Le'Veon Bell with the Steelers. A.J. Green still got to go through concussion protocol, the standout wide receiver for the Bengals. He's got to see a neurologist and a neuropsychologist. It's a little medical issue here for A.J. Green before he's cleared to play in this game. He'll be a huge benefit, obviously, for Andy Dalton if he can play. If he can't go, you know, that's a huge thing for the Bengals, not having that weapon. He really spreads the field and allows the Bengals to do a lot on offense. But then there's Andrew Luck in this one-dimensional offense for the Colts. You know, and I made the point, you know, a lot of it is on Andrew Luck's shoulders because of the really lack of a running game. And I made the point yesterday on the show, maybe this just comes down to which quarterback is the one you want to put your money behind, Dalton or Luck. It's that the rest of the team is that hard to assess.
A lot of people will be saying Luck immediately, Gil, because much of the talk in the lead-up to this match has been about the Bengals and their inability to win a game in the postseason, that drought stretching back to 1991 now. Do you think that's something that preys on the minds of these Bengals as they go into this matchup?
You know, I wonder if that's something that those in the media just make a big deal about, because, you know, some of these guys, 1991, I mean, good Lord, they weren't even alive, a few of these players. So, you know, yeah, I mean, the last few years, for sure, you know, the Bengals have gone up against the Texans most famously, and they keep losing to the Texans in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, after a while, it is going to start playing on their minds. Now, would it, you know, is it before this game? I'm not sure. I'm sure if they lost this one, then it would become a thing. But, you know, they're going into Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a team with a lot of vulnerabilities. And here's the, you know, both of these teams, their wins have largely come against inferior opponents. The AFC North, these three teams, by the way, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore, the three playoff teams from the AFC North, Cincinnati included here, they combined to go 18-5-1 against the NFC South and the AFC South. Clearly the worst two divisions in football. By the way, the Colts are the team that won the AFC South, that weak division. So you really don't know, based on competition, how great are these teams? I mean, we've seen flashes, but really when they go up against good competition, how good are they really? So here they are against each other, and you're like, well, I don't know what's happening here. And before people just immediately go to Andrew Luck on that previous point, Dave, Dalton versus Luck, and immediately gravitate towards Luck, I do want to point out, and again, when you say anything negative about Andrew Luck, God help you, because he apparently is not here. You're apparently not allowed to criticize him in any way. But besides, you know, he's clearly a brilliant quarterback. But if there is a chink in the armor, he fades as seasons go on. So games 1 through 8 of his career, first 3 years, he performs at a certain class, a certain level. And then games 9 through 16, it drops off significantly. Throwing out the Tennessee game from last week, because Tennessee is just a poor football team, his passer rating, first 8 games versus last 8 games of the season, goes down from 89.9 to 82. His total QBR from 73.3 to 51.7 second halves of the season. And his team offensive expected points added per game from plus 7.5 all the way down to plus 1.2. That's an advanced stat. Postseason, 7 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. And you remember last year in 2 games, he had 7 interceptions. Now, a lot of that is because they were behind. He had to throw a lot. But that's the thing with the Colts, right? They are in a lot of situations where they can't rely on a running game. So We said this all year about the Colts. If you're one-dimensional in offense, eventually that's going to come back to harm you. You're not going to win a Super Bowl that way. Are the Bengals the team to exploit that? We shall see.
Superb. Thank you, Gil. Cincinnati Bengals 6-4, the Colts 10-17, the Bengals +3, even money, the Colts -3, 5-6. Interesting words about Andrew Luck as well, because we've talked about this on numerous podcasts this season as well, Gil. Turnovers have been a problem for Andrew Luck. He's not been perfect this season. He has, as you've mentioned, got so little help in the backfield. Reggie Wayne returning as well, which is good news for the Colts.
Helps, for sure. Yeah. It helps, absolutely. Veteran presence. T.Y. Hilton, of course, is the difference maker at wideout. But yes, Reggie Wayne as a possession receiver is going to help. I just really wonder in this game, anybody who has conviction on either side, because here's the thing, you can make a case for either team and you can make a case against. And I think different from all the other games this weekend, this is the one that at least side-wise, you're just like, good Lord, how do you really know who's showing up here? And I think you have a much better grasp of all the other teams involved.
I think a lot of bettors as well, Gil, might be thinking they will make their decision based on whether AJ Green goes here, because in that first matchup back in October, AJ Green wasn't in the lineup and the Bengals couldn't get anything going offensively, whereas we know if he is there, he is the difference maker, and maybe some punters just waiting for that news.
Yeah, and remember, a lot of the Colts' early season success had a lot to do with their defense's ability to hold teams down on third down. And as we've talked about on your show, Dave, that's one of those stats that isn't sustainable. It sort of regresses to a league average over time. So what that tells us is, we already talked about how the Colts beat up on inferior competition. We already talked about how third down percentage against, they've been good early. It's smoke and mirrors to some degree. And again, gun to head, it's one of those games that if you force me to bet it, well, you know, I'll probably take the points because it's more than a field goal, but this is a no play for me.
Let's finish off with the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys at 9:40 p.m. start time here in the UK on Sunday evening. The Detroit Lions 5-2, the Dallas Cowboys 1-3, the Lions +7 at 5-6, the Cowboys -7 at even money. Got to start, Gil, with Ndamukong Suh here. His ban for standing on the ankle of Aaron Rodgers has been expunged, so he does get to play in this matchup. First of all, what do you think to the decision, Gil?
You know, it's Ndamukong Suh. Dave, if that was you playing football and you stepped on my arm and you had never done anything else in the league, you probably would not have been suspended. I probably would have slapped you just like Aaron Rodgers did to Ndamukong Suh, and you wouldn't have invited me on the show anymore. But because you had no past offenses, they probably would have let you go. But because it was Ndamukong Suh, and because, let's just face it, something's wrong with him, they suspended him. Knee-jerk reaction was to suspend him. Like, well, dude, what are you doing standing on him? And in Ndamukong Suh's defense, I don't know if you heard this, but this is a true story, I couldn't feel my foot. It was too cold.
I've not heard that one, Gil.
That apparently was convincing enough for the NFL Appeals Committee, Dave. I'm going to use that one. So, yeah, he's in. He will be playing. He's fined $70,000, which is like you finding me, I guess, $5 for him, perhaps. But he will be playing, which is a big deal for the Lions to have any shot here of slowing down the Cowboys' offensive attack. Ndamukong Suh's impact is readily definable by the numbers. When he is in the game, they allow 2.84 yards per rush. When he is not playing, it's all the way up to 4.12.
Wow.
That's a big difference for each single play. Sack percentage. When he plays, the Lions' sack percentage is 7.4%. When he doesn't, it plummets to 2.7%. Pressuring the quarterback. When he plays, 30.1%. When he doesn't, 19.8%. Opponent total QBR, 39.4 in, 46.2 out. You get the idea. He's big. He's a very important player. Now, keep in mind, the Lions already don't have Nick Fairley, their standout defensive lineman. He's been out for 8 games after spraining 2 knee ligaments, and Coach Jim Caldwell said it would be a miracle if he plays in this game. In other words, he won't. So they couldn't stand not to have both Fairley and Sue. Thankfully for the Lions, they get Sue, so they have a puncher's chance here.
I like this matchup as well, Gil, because I see this as a strength against strength. You've mentioned Detroit limiting opponents on the ground already. They've had 133 tackles for losses this season to lead the league, and lead the league in rushing yards allowed as well, 69.3 per game. They face their biggest challenge now, though, with Murray in the backfield for the Dallas Cowboys. He's famously eclipsed Emmett Smith's franchise record this season. So it's strength against strength here, Gil.
It really is. Strength against strength, which is what makes this maybe the most fascinating of the 4 games this weekend. And by the way, thankfully for the Cowboys, they have Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, and DeMarco Murray playing in this game, because Lord knows head coach Jason Garrett risked everything last week against the Redskins inexplicably, playing them the entire game. I just could not understand. You know, me and my fellow Redskins fans were on the phone usually watching these games, and the whole time all we're thinking is, what a lunatic this guy is. Like, why is he risking this? Yet he got away with it. So, yes, Murray gets the franchise record as part of that process, but you hit on it. The Lions are the number one team in football in terms of opponents' yards per play, number one in the NFL. They're really good against the rush, as we just documented. If any team is going to slow down the Dallas Cowboys, you would think that this could be the team. Certainly Seattle leaps to mind as well, now that they have all their defensive players back. So keep in mind, Dallas didn't play Seattle when they had a full allotment of defensive players the first time around when they beat Seattle. But outside of the Seahawks, this would be the team that you would think would have the best chance of shutting them down. The key to the Dallas Cowboys this season has been very simple. Remember, we went into this season almost mocking how bad their defense might be. They've been 8-8 year after year after year. In fact, they had a 500 record going back all the way to 1997. I mean, it's just, they're such a mediocre franchise. And here they come out with a 12-4 NFC East champion team. And the key has been a commitment to that running game. And that commitment to the running game has made Tony Romo into the best quarterback by passer rating and total QBR in the NFL. Better than Rodgers, better than Manning, better than Brady. By all those numbers, or by those metrics, he's the best. And the reason is because he's dropped back fewer times. It's amazing how less can be more. Romo dropped back to pass 7.2 fewer times per game on average this year. It's the second largest year-over-year reduction in that category among players with at least 200 pass attempts in each season. And quantifying it, only 51.8% dropbacks this year for the Cowboys. 51.8%, just over half. It's the lowest rate in the NFL, 51.8% dropbacks. Contrast that with the previous 3 seasons when the Cowboys were going 8-8 every year, when they were over 65% on dropbacks, the third highest rate in the NFL over those last 3 seasons. So a commitment to the run means Tony Romo has to pass less. The Cowboys' formula for success. Can the Lions' defensive front stop DeMarco Murray, make Tony Romo pass, put the Cowboys' defense on the field, and win this football game? That's what it comes down to. It's a fascinating chess match.
7 points is a big spread as well, Gil.
It is. That's the thing. And 7 points is big. Can the Cowboys cover that number with that Lions defensive front? I'm going to go ahead and say, and I'm going to look across the board right now to see if I can pick off any 6.5s or if it's all 7. And I do see 6.5 in a lot of places offshore. If you can grab a 6.5, I would take that and I would play the Cowboys. At 7, it becomes more of a toss-up to me. I don't think, I mean, the answer to the question, the big question, can the Lions stop the Cowboys? My answer would be, and this is from a Redskin fan, biggest rivals of the Cowboys. They're the team I hate the most. And I will say this, I have a lot of respect for that Cowboys team this year. Their offensive line is fabulous. And I think, for me, my opinion is the answer to the question is that the Lions will not be able to stop the Cowboys. That is my hunch. I think that those young offensive linemen will, in the end, rule the day, and I can see the Cowboys winning this football game by more than 7 points.
And can you see them going on a run, Gil?
I cannot. after saying all that, I cannot. The reason I say that is because if they win this football game, let's see here, because they are the 3 seed. If they win this football game, then they have to travel to they will travel to Green Bay. So that's a tough, frigid environment to get past as well. And then if they get past that, you got to go to Seattle. They're not winning that gauntlet. They're not beating a doubt Detroit defensive front, followed by the offensive fireworks of Aaron Rodgers, followed by playing in the most difficult place in the league in Seattle. It ain't happening, Cowboys fans, I'll tell you that right now. So I would stop short of a run, but I think they get it done this weekend.
Okay, the Cowboys 1-3, the Lions 5-2. Just one more question. Should Tony Romo be considered an MVP candidate? Should he be in the mix for that honor?
Yeah, he should be in the mix, absolutely. Listen, I think Tony Romo, and this again from a guy who is predisposed to dislike the Dallas Cowboys, I think Tony Romo has gotten a raw deal throughout his career from pundits. I think Tony Romo has been a really, really good NFL quarterback on the tier just below the elite. So take Manning, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, and that group out of the equation, he's the next group. And I think he's been consistent in that group. He hasn't had a good offensive line for much of his career. He has been failed by his contributing players for much of his career. And the reputation he has of having made bad plays in the crunch, yeah, I mean, look, that's merited. He was the one who did that. But, you know, a lot of that is the fact that he's got to make plays and he's got to take risks. I'm not absolving him from blame over his career, but I do think a lot of it has been disproportionately placed on him, the blame that is. Now he's got the supporting cast. Look how good he's been. So in the mix, yes. Do I think he wins it? Yeah, I don't know about that.
Who do you think wins it, Gil?
Boy, if they had onions, as we like to say here, Dave, if they had some onions, they would go with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
The amazing defensive player for the Houston Texans. I mean, what he has done filling up a sheet on the defensive side of the ball, a stat sheet that is just unbelievable and may have single-handedly kept that team in a playoff race. And to do that from that side of the ball is mind-boggling. Do I think that they will do that and give it to Watt? I don't think they will, but on merit, I think he should get it.
Catching touchdown passes as well, Gil.
Oh, yeah, catching touchdown passes, forcing fumbles, recovering fumbles, causing safeties, most notably 20 and a half sacks, too shy of the all-time record. Amazing football player and a motor that never seems to stop. I just don't think they'll do it. You know, I just don't think they will. But I hope they would. That would be great.
Gil, absolute pleasure speaking to you. Just remind listeners where they can pick up your podcast as well.
My Twitter is Beating the Book. Thank you for asking, Dave. At Beating the Book. And the podcast is called Beating the Book. And I do 2 NFL shows per week, although Guessing Lines is now done for the season. So now it's just the Megapod. And you can find that on iTunes just by putting in Beating the Book or Gil Alexander, Gil with 2 L's. And, of course, this podcast, which I have a great pleasure of doing every week.
Thank you, Gil. It's been my pleasure this week. And we'll speak ahead of next week's playoff matches as well as it really hots up. Thank you, Gil.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Good luck to everybody.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.